It's nice to be with you today and appreciate the fact that you're with us. Appreciate the good reading from the book of Genesis that took us back to a scene in the life of Abraham, as recorded in Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. Abraham is a prominent figure throughout this book. He's introduced to us in the first book of the Bible. But yet his name is mentioned repeatedly, not only throughout the Old Testament, but the New Testament as well. Jesus himself made reference to Abraham, and the apostles often talked about him. Three times in the New Testament, it is affirmed Abraham believed God. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 3, Paul said, "For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." Writing the churches of Galatia, in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 6, Paul penned, "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness." James, the servant of the Lord, in James chapter 2 and in verse 23, had this to say, "And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." You and I would do well today to put ourselves in the place of Abraham and ask ourselves the question, if it had been our name instead of his, would it have been said, "We believed God"? I learned from the life of Abraham what it means to believe God. And I'd like to suggest to you at least three things that are involved in the fact that Abraham believed God. First of all, when the Bible says that Abraham believed God, Abraham believed that God is. To believe God implies that one believes that he is. In the faith chapter, as set forth in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, the writer said, "But without faith it is impossible to please him." That's God. "For he that cometh to God must what? Believe that he is." Abraham believed that God is. His life is a reflection of one who genuinely believed that God is. Too many today do not believe that God is. How about you and me? The psalmist in Psalm 14:1 had this to say, and he repeats it again in Psalm 53 and verse 1. "The fool has said in his heart," what's he said? "There is no God." And so when you say there is no God, you speak the language of a fool. There is enough evidence around us to cause us to realize that God is. In Psalm 19:1, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world." That's Psalm 19:1-4. The psalmist said in Psalm 139 and verse 14, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Look at your body. Look at the creation. And you will be without excuse for not believing that God is. Just as Romans 1 and in verse 20 says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." And so when you think about this statement, Abraham believed God. He believed that God is. But there's a lot more to it than that. It's not that Abraham just believed that God is. But a second thing that is involved in this statement, Abraham believed God, believed what God said. There may be a lot of people who believe that God is, but do not believe what God says. Not only did Abraham believe that God is, but he believed what God had to say. You see, faith not only involves believing that he is, but believing what he says. Hebrews 11:6 talks about, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. What's the rest of that? And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's believing what he says. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 10, John said, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God. That's not believing that God is, but believing what God says. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Why? Because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And so he doesn't believe what God said. And thus he makes God a liar. Believing God involves accepting what he has to say. There are lots of examples of that. I think back to the days of Jonah. In Jonah chapter 3, when he was sent by the Lord to the capital city of the great Assyrian Empire. He said in Jonah 3 and verse 4, as he began to enter the city a day's journey, 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. You know what the Bible says? In Jonah 3 and verse 5, so the people of Nineveh believed God. They believed what was said. Would you have been among those who believed God? Paul's an example of one who not only believed that God is, but believed what God had to say. In Acts chapter 27, we have his sea voyage towards Rome. And when you looked at everything from a physical standpoint, you'd think that the ship, the cargo, and all the passengers were going to be lost. But in Acts 27, I want you to observe this statement of faith. Beginning in verse 22, Paul said, there shall be no loss of any man's life. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. Listen, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Oh, from an outward standpoint, it may not have appeared that way. It might not have seemed that way. But Paul said, I believe God. Would you have said that if you'd been Paul? He's not saying, I believe that God is. But he believed what God had to say. There's a difference. Abraham accepted what God said without doubt and without question. Although what God said might have appeared physically impossible. You see this statement, Abraham believed God, that appears in the New Testament books of Romans, Galatians, and James, all point back to our reading in Genesis chapter 15. When the Lord said unto Abraham in verse 5, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, that is, count the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. You know, Abraham was about 100 years old when God told him that. And his wife Sarah, well past the child rearing years. Put yourself in his place. Maybe some clear night as you look up and you see the stars. Think of yourself being about 100 years old. And God saying, if you can count the stars, so shall thy seed be. Let me ask you a question. Would you have believed God? You see, he didn't just believe that he is. He believed what God said. Though that might have seemed impossible. Come with me to the book of Romans for just a moment. As Paul talks about Abraham believed God. In verse 16, he talks about Abraham, the father of us all, as it is written, I've made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Abraham believed God, who quickeneth the dead. That is, he raiseth the dead. In the book of John chapter 5 and in verse 21, Jesus shows us that truth when he said, For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. And so if God quickeneth the dead or raiseth the dead, why would you not believe God? And in addition to that, Romans 4:17 says, calleth those things which be not as though they were. What's he talking about? Notice what was written back in the book of Genesis, chapter 17 and verse 5. I have made thee a father of many nations. It's not I will make thee, but I have made thee. See, he speaks in past tense as if it's already accomplished. That's what he's quoting when he says, calleth those things which be not as though they were. And there are numerous examples all throughout the Old Testament where the Lord would speak of future events in past tense language as if it's already accomplished. As in the book of Isaiah chapter 46 and in verse 10. When the Bible says of God, there is none like him. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I'll do all my pleasure. You see, God's counsel is so sure, so strong, that he can do that. He can, as Paul said, call those things which be not as though they were. And since that's the case, why wouldn't you believe God? Believe what he says. If he can raise the dead and call those things which be not as though they were. Verse 18 of Romans 4 said that Abraham against hope believed in hope. That's quite a statement. That he might become the father of many nations against hope. About 100 years old. His wife. People say that's hopeless. To believe in such, that I'm going to be a father of many nations. And so, the Bible says in verse 19, being not weak in faith. You might underscore these statements about Abraham, who believed God. Against hope, believed in hope, being not weak in faith. He considered not his own body now dead. That'd been easy to do, wouldn't it? Would you have considered your own body when God said that? When he was about 100 years old. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Look at verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And watch this statement, verse 21. Being fully persuaded. There's no doubt, there's no question in Abraham's mind that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. So I don't know about you, but this statement, Abraham believed God, challenges me. Would that have been said about me? There are a lot of people who believe that God is. But how many believe what he says? Who, against hope, believe in hope? Who are fully persuaded? And as Genesis 18 and verse 14 says, that nothing is too hard for the Lord. There may be some things God says that you think are humanly impossible. Doesn't make any sense to me. But Abraham didn't question it. He didn't doubt it. He accepted it. He believed God. Contrast that with Zacharias in Luke chapter 1 who is in the temple attending to his duties. Luke 1:7 talks about the fact that he and his wife Elizabeth were both righteous before God. They had no child because that Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. And in verse 11, there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. Notice what the angel said. Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. What would you have thought if you'd been Zacharias? In the book of Luke in chapter 1 and verse 18, Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed. Why? Because thou believest not my words. And so you see a difference, don't you? Similar situation. Abraham believed God. Both of these men believed that God is. But I want you to notice Abraham believed what God said. And Zacharias believed not his words. Is it possible that there are times in our lives when we're like Zacharias? We believe that God is, but we don't believe what he says. I'll tell you something else involved in this statement. Abraham believed God. Not only did he believe that God is and believe what God said, but I want you to observe that Abraham did what God said. You see, believing God not just involves accepting what he says, but doing what he says. Faith and obedience go together. You see that in the book of Matthew 21, 23 through 32, when the Lord was questioned about his teaching in the temple, by what authority doest thou these things, and who gave thee this authority? Jesus said, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men? They reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did ye not then believe him? You see, the baptism of John stands for the work of John, the preaching of John. He preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And so when he asked about the baptism of John, and if they were to say from heaven, he'll say unto us, why did ye not then believe him? You see, to believe him was to be baptized of him. To believe him was to do as he said. And then as you read on in verse 28, what think ye? A certain man had two sons. He came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not, but afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, likewise. The answer said, I go, sir, and went not. Whither of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. Oh, they did not lack faith that John is. They knew that John existed. They didn't believe John because they didn't accept his words and they didn't do what he said. You see, they weren't baptized of John. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward that ye might believe him. See? And so if they really believed John, if they really accepted what John had to say, they would have obeyed John. They would have repented as John said to do. They would have been baptized of John. See? That's the point. And so they said, we can't tell. Do you recall from the life of Abraham situations where this man did what God said? In the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8, it is said, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. That's the next word. Obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. That takes us back to Genesis chapters 11 and 12. Put yourself in his place. When God says, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Would you have had some questions? Would there have been uncertainty in your mind? Would you have thought, where are we going, Lord? How long is it going to take us to get there? What's it going to be like? There's no indication that Abraham questioned God or had any doubts about that. But the Bible just says of him in Genesis 12 and verse 4, so Abram departed. That's an expression of obedience. As the Lord had spoken unto him. What's he doing? He's doing exactly what God says. That's obedience. That's faith. You see, to believe God is to do what he says. That's why you have that statement in Hebrews 11. By faith. He was said to have faith because of what he did. He did what God said. But that's not the only example. Look at Hebrews 11 again. Drop down this time to verse 17. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, that is when he was tested, when he was proved, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Put yourself in his place. Here God said, I make you a great nation. I've made thee a father of many nations. And that's not coming through Ishmael, that's coming through Isaac. And now he tells you to take your only son Isaac up to a place and you're going to offer him there for an offering. What's that going to do to the promise? Would that have upset your faith? Would that have caused your faith to be overthrown? Would you have thought, how's this going to work? Or would you have had the faith that he did? Would you have accounted that God was able to raise him from the dead? That's impressive, isn't it? He did what God said. Genesis 22, you read all about it. No questioning God, no arguing with God about that. But obedience. In Genesis 22 and verse 3, Abraham rose up early in the morning and went unto the place of which God had told him. You know, when you read that, somebody might say, well, he didn't offer his son. Because when Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son, the angel of the Lord said, lay not thy hand upon the lad. Verses 10 through 12. But God, who knows the thoughts and intents of the heart, when he comments on this in Hebrews chapter 11, remember, he said, offered Isaac. And James, when he teaches on this subject in James 2, 21 and 22, he said, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? You see, God declared him from the beginning. And God said he offered him. Though he didn't allow him to actually take his life. That challenges us, doesn't it? Abraham believed God. You see, there's more to believing God than meets the eye with most people. You ask somebody, do you believe God? Oh, yeah, I believe that there's a God. There's more to it than that. Do you believe what God said? And I fear that there may be some of us even who at times would admit that there is a God, but yet we don't believe that what God said is true. We don't believe what God says. We don't take him at his word. And we fail to do what he says. Now, it's one thing for us to be impressed with the fact that Abraham believed God. Let me ask the question by way of application. Do you believe God? Do you believe, first of all, that God is? Do you believe that he is? Do you? Do you really believe that God is? Is there any doubt in your mind that there is a God? That God in the beginning created the heaven and the earth? There's no doubt in Abraham's mind that God is. And you look at the life that Abraham lived, and it all begins with the fact that he believed that God is. Does our life fit that? Do we believe that he is? There's no reason not to believe that he is. Everything that he says in this book agrees with everything that we see out here in the world. You see, the God who claims to have given us the Bible claims to have made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is. And that's one of the great evidences. His fulfilled promises. The fact that he could declare the end from the beginning. And it happened just like he said. God is. Do you believe that? Oh, there'd be a lot of fools out here who'd tell you there is no God. And they'd try to destroy your faith. Their influence at work to try to erode those layers from beneath it so that your faith will just crumble. There are universities that are good at that. But I hope that you'll be like Abraham and you'll always believe that he is. Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. So do you believe that he is? Let me ask another question. Do you believe God? Do you believe what God said? Do you? I don't know that we have any trouble, at least those of us here today, with the first part of that, believing that he is. I believe most of us do, if not all of us, believe that he is. There's no doubt. But is it possible that there are times when we don't believe what he says? Let me give you some examples. Do you believe what he says when he says that he is on his throne and that he rules in the kingdoms of men? In the book of Daniel chapter 4 and in verse 25, one of the enduring messages from the book of Daniel is the fact that God is in control, that he rules and reigns in the kingdoms of men, and he sets over the kingdoms of men whomsoever he will. You know, there are times when things seem kindly chaotic, and there's a shift in power, and we just begin to perhaps say some things that fail to represent that we believe what God said. You know, there were those who seemed to think that if Hillary was put in office, that the world was going to come to an end. Or that if Trump was elected, that the world was going to come to an end. But guess what? We're still here. The world hasn't come to an end. Why? Because God rules in the kingdoms of men. And when you read the book of Revelation chapter 4, God is on his throne. When you go back to the Old Testament and you read of the fall of nations, like the fall of Babylon, if you'd been in Babylon and you saw that nation and that kingdom fall, would you have thought, the world is coming to an end? Or would you have believed God, that he's in control, that he's on his throne? Regardless of what happens, whether we wake up some morning and we are under the rule of some foreign nation, like the Chinese or the Russians or the Koreans, guess what? God is still on his throne and he's still in control. Do we believe that? Do we believe what God said about that? But then again, when you think about this, do you believe God? Do you believe what God says about child training and discipline? In the book of Proverbs chapter 22 and in verse 6, the wise man said, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. Do you believe God when he says that? Now I realize that this is a book of generalities, that there are exceptions. We're dealing in generalities. But it's generally true, isn't it, that children turn out how we raise them. Do you believe that how you raise your child is how he'll turn out? Do you believe that? You know, there are times where time after time after time, here's children after children after children, they said it didn't turn out right. The Bible teaches that the way we train a child has to do with how he turns out. Do we believe that? Do you believe God when he says that? Or in the book of Proverbs 22 and verse 15, when he says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Do you believe that? Do you believe what God says about that? Oh, we may believe that God is, but do we believe what God said about it? When there are those who refuse to discipline a child, like the Bible teaches, they don't believe what God said. Do you believe what God said? Or do you know more about that than God? Do you believe what God said when He teaches in His Word that church discipline works? In the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and in verse 6, Paul said, "We command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly." In 1 Corinthians 5, Paul talked about that. Put away from among yourselves. He said, "With such an one know not thee." Let me ask you, do you believe what God says? There are times when in meetings of men, there are those who say, "Well, it doesn't work. It's not going to work. It's not effective. You're going to drive people away if you do that." Do you believe God? So I said, where's an example of where that ever worked? How about the case in Corinth? When in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul talked about the fact that this man came back and they were to confirm their love toward him. Do you believe what God said about that? Some say, we just need to show them more love. They have a distorted concept of love. That's not love. That is showing love. That's doing what God said. And doing what God said is connected with His love. This is the love of God that we keep His commandments. And so I'm asking, do you believe God? Do you believe God when He says He hears and answers prayer? In James chapter 5, verse 16, we have the teaching concerning James about the power of prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We have the promise in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He heareth whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Do we believe God? He says He'll hear and answer our prayers. Do we believe that? Or do we pray thinking, well, I don't think it's going to do any good. I don't know that it's going to change anything. Do we believe what God says? Do we believe God when He says that gospel preaching saves? In Mark chapter 16 and verse 15 and 16, when He sent the apostles to preach in all the world, preach the gospel, he that believeth and baptized should be saved. In Romans 1:16, the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. And it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. 1 Corinthians 1:21. Do we believe that? Do we? Or do we think... You know, the power's in the preacher, in his charisma. If we just had a more charismatic man, if we had a dynamic preacher, if his voice was stronger, if his personality was more pleasing, if the building was bigger or more attractive, you see. Do we believe what God's saying? Because sometimes there are those who minimize the importance of gospel preaching. They don't believe what God said. That the power is in gospel preaching. Remember, there were those who said of Paul that his bodily presence was weak, but his letters were strong. Paul wasn't an eloquent preacher. 1 Corinthians 2. He said, "I came not with eloquence." Why? He said that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So if he just had a more eloquent preacher, let me ask you, do you believe what God said? That the gospel is the power of God and it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. If we just had this and that, do you believe God? Do you believe what He says in Acts 2 and verse 38 when He says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins"? Do you believe that? That if you repent and you're baptized, your sins will be forgiven? Do you believe that if you turn from your sin and you pray to God, that God will forgive you? In Acts 8 and 22, when Simon was baptized and he sinned, his thought condemned him. He is told, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." Do you believe God that if you'll turn from your sin and you'll pray about that, that God will forgive you? As John said, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us." 1 John 1:9. You believe God when He says that? You see, if I don't confess my sin, if I don't turn from my sin, do I really believe God? Do I believe God when he says, if I put first things first, he'll take care of me? Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do we believe that? Oh, we believe that God is, but do we believe what he says? Do we believe that evil communications or associations corrupt, but that good ones are of a positive influence? 1 Corinthians 15:33. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Do we believe that? Or do we get to thinking, it doesn't matter who I buddy up with and who I run around with and who my friends are, it's not going to have any impact on me? Do we believe God when he says that it does matter? And that he that walketh with wise men shall be wise? It's like a fellow told me who had raised his children. I think we did a good job of keeping them away from bad influences. I just don't know that we did enough to get them with the right ones. It's not enough to keep them away from. Create opportunities for them to associate with good people, good influences. That's important, isn't it? Do we believe God when he says what he does about that? Do we believe God when he says that Christ will come unexpectedly? Some think that Christ, if he's not coming, must not be coming. Or maybe it's a long way off. There's plenty of time. Peter said the day the Lord will come as a thief in the night. 2 Peter 3:10. Of that day and that hour knoweth no man, Jesus said. Do you believe God? Jesus could come at any moment, and so we need to be ready every moment. Do you believe that? In the book of Acts 24, I want you to notice a statement that came from Paul in verse 14. Paul said, I confess unto thee that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers. Listen to this. Believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. Paul, let me ask you, how much did you believe? He said, I believe all of it. I believe everything God said. How about us today? When it comes to everything that God said, we just made application in 10 areas. But you take the sum total of everything that God says. Do we believe what God says? Do you believe God? And then finally, do you do what he says? You see, if you believe God, you do what he says. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 7:21. Jesus said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Luke 6:46. Abraham didn't just believe that God is and believe what he said. He did what God said. How about me? How about you? God calls upon us to hear his son. We are commanded to believe. That's what produces faith, hearing, Romans 10:17. We're expected to repent. Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Luke 13:3-5. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Acts 17:3. We're expected to confess our faith in Christ. I believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Acts 8:37. Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Have you done that? Do you believe God? Have you done what he says? He commands us to be baptized. Acts 2:38. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, the mission says. In Acts 10:47-48, at Cornelius' place, he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. They did that. We know they believed God because they did what God said. How about us today? Do we believe God? You know the jail keeper in Acts 16 when he asked what to do to be saved. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Here's a man who believed God. He believed what the men of God said, and he did what they said. Because the Bible reports, they spake unto him the word of the Lord, verse 32. He took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway, verse 33. And then in verse 34, he set meat before them and rejoiced. Listen, believing in God. See that? You see, believing in God is a comprehensive statement that involves more than just believing that he is. It's believing what he says and doing what he says. And God says that we are to be faithful unto death. Revelation 2 and verse 10. Do I believe God? Am I doing that? Am I being steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord? 1 Corinthians 15 verse 58. living soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world? Abraham believed God. How about me? Do I believe God? Do I believe that He is? Do I believe what He says? Am I doing as He says? I want you to notice what believing God did for Abraham. It caused several things to be possible. Because Abraham believed God, he looked beyond this earth. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11, 9 and 10, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with them of the same promise. Would you be satisfied to dwell in a tent that moves about from place to place? Why did he do that? For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Verse 13. These all died in faith. That includes Abraham. Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. Does your faith cause you to look beyond this earth? To lay up treasures in heaven? To seek things above? As we sing, this world is not my home. Do we believe that? Abraham did, didn't he? I'll tell you something else. It caused righteousness to be imputed to him. In Romans chapter 4, 22, Paul said, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. That is, it was credited to him. He was accounted righteous before God. Some people think that you're accounted righteous just by mental assent. No, more was involved in that. He believed that God is. He believed what God said. He did what God said. And notice he says, for us also, verse 24, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. You see what believing God does? It makes it possible for you to be righteous, to be accounted right and just in God's sight. Something else it caused, it allowed Abraham to be described as faithful. In Galatians chapter 3 and in verse 9, so then they which be of faith are blessed with who? Faithful Abraham. You wonder why God could say of Abraham, faithful Abraham, because he believed that he is, believed what he said, and did what he said. And if I want to be considered faithful, that's what it's going to take. Believe that he is, believe what he says, and do what he says. And then finally, I tell you something else that happened as a result of all this. He was called the friend of God. Can you think of any greater statement that could be made than that which was made concerning Abraham? When James in chapter 2 and verse 23 said, he was called the friend of God. Reference was made to that back in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and in verse 7. So I want you to notice this statement by the Lord Himself in Isaiah 41. And in verse 8, he said, thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Isn't that something? Abraham, my friend. Why did God say that? Because Abraham believed God. Would you like to be God's friend? You can be. If you'll believe that he is, believe what he says, and do what he says. And I can too, on the same basis. May God help us to conduct ourselves in such a way that what is said of Abraham can be said of every one of us. He believed God. She believed God. There's a possibility you've not yet accepted what God said. You've not obeyed what God said. I want to challenge you about that today. To come believing with all of your heart and obey. Repenting of your sins. Confess your faith that you believe that Christ is God's Son. And to be buried with Him by baptism. To come up to walk in newness of life. Dedicate yourself to being faithful unto death. Have you been baptized? But there have been times when you've not believed what God said. And you need to make correction of that. You've not been doing what God said. Maybe you've been doing less than or other than what God said. And you need to say, I have sinned. You believe God that when He says, if you turn from that and you pray, that He'll forgive you. As we stand and sing the song, we cordially invite you to come.